Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book, In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year, that matter.
Yay.
With Brad Steiner and Barry Corder.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the What Podcast, which, as you guys know, we primarily do sort of focused on Bonnaroo, but an opportunity came up and I am so excited for a lot of reasons. And I'll just take a quick minute because I want to hear Emmy speak more than me. But your manager reached out and said, hey, do you want to talk to Emmy Sunshine? She's coming to Songbirds June 19th. And Emmy, I don't know if you know this, but first of all, that had me, yes, I want to talk to you because I know you've had a history here. Yes. You played our Riverbend Festival when you were, what, 9 or were you 6? I know you were very young.
9, yeah.
Yeah. And then I don't know if you know this, but a little girl named Emmy Reimer, you gave her a pair of your boots. That you wore, I guess, on the Grand Old Opry. And she was a guest on a music show that we used to do for the paper, and she wore those boots, and she wears them all the time. And
so
that had me too, because you were so sweet to do that. And then also as part of this email, your manager says you were asked to co-write a song with Bootsy Collins, and I was in, so here we are. So tell me how that happened. Tell me about
my publicist was talking to me about how I was going to go do this festival sort of thing. I mean, my mom told me a lot about it, but I was like, okay, this is kind of cool. I think it's the opening day parade of the Reds, and I was like, okay, this is really cool. I could be a part of this parade. That's awesome. And then, you know, the whole coronavirus thing happened, and we weren't able to do that anymore. It was actually one of the last shows that we had before we were on a tour, and it was one of the last shows we had before we were going to get to go home, but it was canceled. And Bootsy was a part of that as well. And he looked at my music and he was researching me, and he ended up really loving it and wanting me to be a part of one of his projects. And since all the coronavirus thing happened and everything that's been going on, we just decided to get a bunch of musicians and singers together and put together a song. And me and Bootsy co-wrote Stars, and I'm very, very happy about it. It's a great song, and I'm very honored to get to work with him.
So those are words that just don't come out of most people's mouths, right? Bootsy, first of all, and you got to write a song. And when you say got some people together, I've got the list in front of me. And we're talking Bela Fleck, Victor Wooten, Brian Culberson, Steve Jordan, and Dr. Cornel West.
Yes.
Who, if anybody had their TV on over the weekend, got to see Dr. West multiple times. So, I mean, the timing, you know, I started to say good, but it's not good, is it? I mean, the reason all this is happening is because of so much terrible stuff that's going on. But what an opportunity to be a part of something like this, I have to think, for you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm very honored to get to work with Bootsy, and especially the artists who have been a part of this. I mean, there were so many parts of this song where I was hearing different singers sing my song that me and Bootsy wrote. It's just, it's something that, you know, doesn't happen very often. And getting all these musicians and singers and writers together, I mean, like, that's really, really cool. I mean, I think that's a song that's going to be something that I'm going to remember for a very, very long time.
Yeah, tell everybody about the song, right? Because it's a very socially aware, socially conscious song. What was the process with you? I assume from watching it that you were in different places and probably talking just like you and I are now, type of thing?
Pretty much. It was kind of difficult to write the song because, like, we were going to get together at one point, me and Bootsy and my mother and my family, and we were going to talk and get to know each other and maybe work on a song. We thought that might happen. But quarantine started happening, and we were just like, oh, maybe we can, you know, get together, you know, we can email back and forth. We can do Skype. Maybe at some point, we never got to do that actually. But we just kind of went back with emails and gave little pieces of the song to each other and kind of gave ideas back and forth. And I feel like that somehow worked out. I mean, like, it was a very odd process, but I mean, like, it had its perks. I mean, like, getting to work with Bootsy on this, and I was very nervous about it first because I was like, how the heck am I going to write a song without the other person in the room with me? I mean, I can understand Skype because that's a little bit easier. We didn't get to do that. So I was a little bit worried about how, what the outcome would be. Eventually, I put down the track for this, and I sang it, and it was really cool. I mean, like, I'm so happy with how the words turned out. I mean, I just sort of took what Bootsy was saying, and I just applied it to the song, and I did it in a very simple way, but it just sort of kind of got everything in there in the way that I wanted it to, and I'm very, very happy with it.
Did it change from much? I'm sure it changed. Any song changes from the process, but I mean, things were happening and still are in the world every 5 minutes, it seems like. So
yeah.
How did that impact what you guys were doing?
Well, I mean, I feel like that song, in a way, can apply to a lot of things. And I think that it is a way for us to have a very inspirational sort of uplifting song through anything. And I feel like it can be something that people either can relate to or people can listen to and be like, hey, you know, it's going to get better at some point. Things are going to get better, and it has gotten better. I mean, things can get better. And that's sort of what that song is just really trying to say. But it's saying it in a way where it's not really kind of going towards, oh, well, this is all about the pandemic, or it's all about everything else. I mean, like, I feel like this song can apply to a lot, whether it was intended for the pandemic or not, whether, you know, it was intended for it. But I feel like it has a broader reach now.
That's kind of a tricky wicket right there, isn't it? You want it to be sort of the moment, but not stuck in the moment, right?
That was the hardest part of writing it, you know. That was sort of, I really wanted it to talk about what everyone in the world was going through. I mean, like, the pandemic, but I mean, I didn't want it to be too obvious to where, like, it would only apply to that, you know.
Right.
And I wanted it to be diverse, and I wanted it to be something that, you know, people could listen to maybe like 15 years down the line and still have it applied to something at least, you know. And I feel like that is, we kind of executed that pretty well, I think.
How much of a historian would you say you are, music historian? I mean, do you know all of the people that were involved in this and their histories, or?
I don't know them personally, but when I first started the project, I didn't know like all the people who were part of it. Then I started researching them and getting to know their music, and I am very, very happy that I got to, because, you know, now I'm a fan of all the people.
Well, that's what I, That's what I'm wondering.
When I first heard about Bootsy, I didn't know a lot about him before. Like, but then I was like, oh, he is a really cool dude. I mean, he's a great producer. He's amazing. And I just got to know all about the people I'm working with. And that is quite an honor to, you know, just get to look at their history too. So,
Yeah, it's pretty good company you're in there. There's a lot of history with those guys. That's why I wondered if it was something you knew beforehand or sort of figured out. I wonder if you had known beforehand if you'd have done it, you know, or brain locked. Because
Well, I mean, I didn't know much about Bootsy, but I knew like a little bit beforehand. I mean, like I knew a tiny bit of some of his work, but I mean, like, there was a few people that I knew about, but there was a bunch of them that I just didn't know. I didn't know nothing about them. But then, you know, I looked up their career and what they did, and, you know, I feel like that's really what's great about, you know, working with other people is you get to learn more about them and their history, and they get to learn about you. So I think it's cool.
I want to ask you about other stuff you've got going on, too, obviously, but the process you said was not what you would envisioned or would have ideally, you know, put down. But now that you've done it, does it feel like something you could do again? Or are you just ready to get past this and go back to whatever normal is?
Actually, I think I could do it again. I can easily adapt to stuff like this. I mean, we've had to do this before, and we've had to write with people over text or over emails and Skype before. I mean it was sort of different when it was something that was this important, you know. Like, to me, this song was like a very big deal, and I didn't want to send like Bootsy Collins, you know, just some lyrics that weren't good enough for the song, you know.
Right.
And I was very so to me it was quite important to really get this correct. So it was a little bit of pressure, but I mean, I would definitely do it again because I had a lot of fun doing it.
Tell me about the last 7 years, I guess, or 8 years of your career. I mean, what a career path, right?
It's something else. I mean, I started singing when I was around 5 years old, and my great-grandmother, my grandmother, my dad, and uncles, and everybody in between were singers. And either singers are musically inclined in some way.
Right.
And my mom was a writer way before I was born. So I kind of had both of those things that I could learn how to do, or either have a little bit of a talent to do. And I think at some point when I was around 5, I was singing and I loved it, but I wanted to start writing music too. So I wrote my first song when I was 5. And then I went on about 7 to playing ukulele and trying to learn guitar at the time, but my fingers were too small for that then. And then I just went on playing different things. I mean, I went to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. I was playing there for a long time. And then one day I got to play the Grand Ole Opry. And then again and again, and about 15 times I did that. And I've gotten to do a lot of stuff. I mean, I was on the Today Show, and I've got to do so many things that I would have never thought, you know, when I was little, that I would really get to do as much. Like, I never knew that. And I'm really, really happy with how it turned out because, you know, I get to travel, I get to sing, I get to voice, you know, my songs in a very cool way to an audience that I'm very, very glad that I get to have. So, I mean, it's turned out pretty good. I mean, I've gotten to do all kinds of things.
Are you a planner?
Sometimes. I mean, my plan when I was younger is that, okay, I'm going to be a singer, songwriter, musician, and this is exactly what I'm going to do, and is going to go out exactly like this, and that's it. It's never going to change. Nothing ever is. And that's about it. And then, you know, I just thought, well, yes, you're still going to do these things, but your direction might change. Some things might change, and you have to be able to, you know, take that change and go with it, you know, and that's something that I had to learn over time. But I mean, I'm a planner, but I don't try to plan too much to where I'm, you know, putting myself in a position where I won't be able to fluctuate in ways that I need to.
That's a great answer. That's what I was kind of getting at. Second part of it is, are you a sort of a list, a goals setter? Do you have, like, the Grand Ole Opry you've done? Are there people that you want to perform with, write with, work with? Do you have that kind of list?
Yes, especially with writing. I mean, I have so many people that I want to write with, and I've talked about that a lot before. I mean, like, I've always wanted to write with Loretta Lynn. I mean, I've wanted to write with Jack White, which was something I would always want to do. I've always wanted to write with Dolly. I really want to write with Dolly. There's just so many people that I would love to get to work with in any way, singing. And I think that it would be really cool to, you know, really do those things eventually. I have plans when it comes to that. But, I mean, I think a lot of times I forget to plan, and then I'll just go on my way when it comes to my goals. But, I mean, I have all kinds of things that I want to do, especially vocally. I want to, you know, really work on my vocals in the best way that I can. I want to take care of myself, and I want to make sure that I'm taking care of my voice, because it's something that is very important to me. So, I mean, like, I think there's a lot of things, you know, just instrument-wise. There's so many instruments I want to learn as well. I mean, like, there's so many things. But, I mean, yeah, I definitely have goals.
The priority, I mean, Dolly, it's amazing on this podcast, when we've asked people who they want to see at Bonnaroo. Dolly, I think, is number one for most of us. Yeah. And it, you know, crosses all genres. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It's Dolly. Yeah. She's good.
She's phenomenal. Have you met her?
I have not met her, but I hope to one day. She's nice. A big influence on my life. I mean, my family introduced me to her music at like a very young age, and I was just enthralled by her voice and her writing. So yeah. I hope to meet her.
She's a great inspiration. I should say, we're talking a couple of weeks before the song comes out. The song is supposed to come out on the 12th. It's called Stars, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to, if we can embed it on here, we're going to link to it so people will see it. So whether we have it or not, they'll be able to see it. But, You've also graciously agreed to sing it. There's Brad.
Oh, hi. Hey, guys.
There's our co-host, Brad. Brad, meet Emmy.
Hi, Emmy. Lovely to see you.
Nice to see you as well.
Sorry, I'm late. There's a hurricane coming right for us, and we just now realized it.
Oh, I can't blame you for being late.
Yeah, no kidding. I see that Barry got a haircut. He looks good.
Same to you. Same to you.
Very happy to see that.
Yeah. We have just been talking about this song that Emmy co-wrote with Bootsy Collins. It has Bela Fleck and Victor Wooten and Dr. Cornel West on it. And we're going to hope to link to it. And she's going to sing a couple of songs for us here in just a little bit before she has to get off. So, I'm sure you had a couple of questions that you had lined up.
Well, in quarantine life, all of these things sound damn near impossible. So how did everybody do this at once, including Cornel West, which, you know, not really known for his the backing band for Cornel West.
He's great in it though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was so cool. I mean, like, when I first heard his voice and I was like, this is something else. Who is that? Like, I was so confused, but at the same time, you know, surprisingly very pleased. And then we just started looking at all the people who were going to be on this, and I was like, oh, that is very surprisingly cool. I mean, like, that's really amazing. And I just did not realize at first who that was. And, you know, I think that it was like, looking at all the people who have worked on this so far, I mean, like, it's just like, it's insane. I mean, like, especially with how many people that have contributed and like have really been a major part of the vocals or anything. I mean, like, it's really cool.
It's the power of Bootsy.
It is the power of Bootsy.
He's the glue that keeps a nation together in times of turmoil.
Agreed.
I meant to say at the beginning, Emmy, and ever since I used to work at a record store probably in the late 70s and 80s, my all-time favorite album title is What's Bootsy Doing? I just think that's that just cuts right to everything.
Yeah.
I love it. It's only, arrogant. It's everything.
Yeah.
But he delivers, you know.
It's got like that. It's got that cool factor to it. That I mean, like, it's just the title and everything. Once you just see it, you're like, oh, that's gonna be cool.
That's mic drop right there. That's it. Yeah. You'll never be a better.
Definitely.
Go ahead, Brad.
What's that? I'm sorry, I lost you.
If you got any other questions, I know you.
So yeah, because you. How can I put this where it's not offensive, which is damn near impossible for me? How do you manage doing what you do under the umbrella called country, where it's so fractured in so many different ways? Can you even call what you do country?
I used to, but then my music evolved and it became more. And that's just what it did. I mean, like, I consider it more Americana than anything, because like, people like Americana, there's so many things, and you can just really just be whatever you want. I mean, like, it doesn't have to have some sort of goal to set, you know, to be more country or to be more, you know, blues.
I think the label is the thing that's so confusing, I think, to so many people. I mean, you watch Jason Isbell, who has such a problem with the label of country. And then, you know, I read an article the other day where his new album is labeled alt country. You know, I mean, there's so now we've gotten to the point where we're slicing this, you know, ham so thin that you barely can taste it anymore. And, you know, Americana makes a lot of sense, but, you know, it is sort of a sound that is kind of all over the place. And, you know, that I think that's sort of the point, right?
That is. To me, it is. I mean, I just don't like being labeled with my music because I feel like when I do like some like major like, oh, yeah, I'm definitely country or I'm definitely bluegrass, or I'm definitely blues, or I'm definitely this or else. And it just sort of feels wrong to me because, like, I don't feel like I'm able to put my music under a specific label like that because it doesn't fit perfectly to that.
I think we've talked about on here, Brad, it's if you looked at anybody's podcast or their iPad list, their, you know, their playlist, it's all over the place.
Right. So, yeah. Genres really don't exist anymore.
They don't exist anymore. So it's doing whatever you want to do.
I agree with that. And I don't really care about the genre as much, whether it's great lyrics. You know, I feel like the music needs to be really, really cool. I mean, I like cool melodies. I mean, like, I don't care about the genre as long as it's good music and it has a good message to it. That's all I really want. I mean, like, I don't really feel like, you know, just like what goes out on, like, you know, pop country radio and everything else is just sort of, it doesn't have a lot of depth to it. And to me, I don't particularly like that. So
are you telling me that you think my Tractor Sexy doesn't have depth?
I hate to tell you, but no.
Damn it.
It touches you, right?
Yeah, it does.
It touches you.
Yeah.
Emmy, do you need to get off? You got time to sing for us?
I got time to sing for you.
All right.
Awesome. What are you going to sing? What do you got? What's coming up for the band, you and the band?
Yeah. I have my recent album out right now called, excuse me. I have my album out now called Family Wars, and I think I'm going to do a little track from that. Yeah, this is one called Crimson Moon.
Oh, this crimson moon in Georgia heat is where I lost you. Ring on your hand.
Very nice.
There you go.
Very nice.
There you go. Here's what I want to do. I want to watch that again and practice my hair flip.
Yes.
Nice. So expertly done, too. So expertly nice. Done. The hair flip is so perfectly timed every time.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Yeah. And the song's good, too. How about that?
It is great. Yeah. This is,
I've mastered the hair flip.
Well, let me ask this. You prepared another one for us, so if you'll take us out with that one. But I wanted to say the song Stars, the one you co-wrote with Bootsy that has a whole list of stars on it, comes out on the 12th. We should have a link to it, if not as part of this show. But you're also going to be at Songbirds in Chattanooga on June 19th. So I guess you're getting back out, huh? You're starting to do some shows.
Wow, an actual show.
Yeah, an actual show. So weird to think already. I mean, like, I'm glad that we are getting back out. But I mean, like, it's been so scary and, you know, odd lately that it's just really difficult to get back in that groove of just traveling and going. But I mean, I think it's going to go good. We're going to try and see what happens.
Where are you right now?
We're in Nashville.
Okay.
We had a few things to do here. So we left our little town to come here. So.
Okay. So it's not like traveling across the country for a show. You're staying regional. That's not bad. Okay. All right. Well, that's breaking news. There's a show happening. That is big.
And I think that's what we're going to see. I know Songbirds has started booking some shows here with some local people, but also some regional acts. Emmy's actually up from Madisonville, Brad. So she's not far from. We claim her, as I always say. If somebody does good, we claim them.
and it's going to be venues like. Those small intimate venues that sort of like start opening these things up and being sort of the petri dish and the test run for then the 500 room, the 1,000 head room. You know, and seeing the step move, that's a big step. That's a big step that's happening. I did not see that coming. Well, yeah. Good luck. I hope it goes well.
What is it gonna do? All right. What are you going to take us out with, Emmy? And thank you right. so much. For doing this.
Thank you for having me on. I have a little song here that I started writing about 2 years ago. This is one that I started writing with some friends of mine here in Nashville, Vicky McGeehee and Cal Jacobs. We started writing this song because, I just don't particularly write a lot of uplifting songs that often. Or, you know, love songs in general, because I just don't really like them very much. But I...
how was it you described Oh Caroline with your brother? Is a family tragedy? Is that what it...
Yeah.
Nice. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that's funny.
Oh, no, you were fine.
But
here you go.
But yeah, I mean, who likes positive songs? Who wants to listen to Macarena every 3 hours?
I am able. I am strong. I am able. I carry on. Oh, we are able. We are strong. In spite of all said and done.
nice. Cool.
You're doing just fine with the happy sucks. You're doing just fine.
Okay.
I like it. Emmy Sunshine, you're so kind to give us this much time and to do this. And I hope everybody out there enjoyed it as much as I did.
So weird. Emmy Sunshine and I'm Bradley Dark Cloud. It's so ironic. Yeah, thanks for coming on. Yeah, thank you so much. And enjoy the show. Man, I can't wait to see how this goes. This is a big test. It's a big test for, you know, small independent venues like that. So I really do hope it goes well for you guys.
Thanks so much.
And Barry, you better be there. I want to hear. There. You better be there.
I'll be there. Right. Looking forward to it. All right.
We'll see ya.
See you guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey. How y'all feeling?
Journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year that matter.
Yay.
With Brad Steiner and Barry Corder.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.